Good morning. So glad to see everyone here today. The bride of Christ is in the house. I say amen to that. Yes. Let me start with some announcements that we have. It says we are continuing our sprucing up efforts in preparation for the village-wide garage sale on Friday and Saturday. That's on June 9th and June 10th. If you are interested in purchasing our treasures, you are welcome to come to our garage on Thursday. I assume that's the garage out here, maybe, or yeah, little white garage. On Thursday, June 8th, between 10 and 12, and select your purchase. All purchases are final. No, I'm just kidding. All purchases are on a donation basis, and all donations will be used for apportionments, which we really need. What else do we have? We have a couple other things going on. In July, the 10th through the 13th is Vacation Bible School, which is a lot of fun. We always seem like we get a lot of people there. I helped out last year, and I'm going to be helping out this year, playing a little harmonica, and it's so much fun, and the kids just love it. I have grandchildren that come here, and they just look forward to it. It's a wonderful time. Is there anything else anyone has? Pardon me? Square dance Saturday night. Yeehaw! All right, don't forget that. That's Saturday, you said? Okay. There was something else? Okay. Gwen?
We'll be looking for special music after next Sunday.
We'll be looking for special music.
I don't know.
Okay. Harmonica players? What? We'll be looking for special music after next week?
After next Sunday.
After next Sunday. So if you have a talent, if God's given you a gift in music, you can use it here. And bless this congregation with your gifts. So wonderful. And if that's it, we will do our opening hymn, which is number 527 in your hymnal, and it will be on the screens. It is Do Lord, verses 1 through 5. Please rise.
Oh, do Lord, do remember me. As my Savior, you I took Jesus as my Savior, and you remember me. I took Jesus as my Savior, do remember me. And do Lord, remember me. When I'm in trouble, do Lord, remember me. When I'm in trouble, do Lord, remember me. When I'm in trouble, do Lord remember me. Singing, do Lord remember me. When I am dying, do Lord remember me. When I am dying, do Lord remember me. When I am dying, do Lord remember me. singing to God, remember me. I've got a home in glory, let that shine the sun. I've got a home in glory, let that shine the sun. I've got a home in glory, let that shine the sun. Come on, remember me.
That was great. That should get your blood flowing a little bit, your spiritual fervor turned on. Let's bow our heads for some prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord God, we are here to worship you, Lord God, in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ, whom we also worship, whom you are one with. And with the Holy Spirit, Lord God, fill this church. We invite you, Holy Spirit, into this church to bless us, Lord God, and to help us to worship you as we should. I ask you to bless this congregation, everyone in it. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. First scripture reading. I pick Psalm 77. And that is 17 through 20. And it is, our theme today is God, who does the impossible. And this goes right along with that. I need new glasses, so I can't read the screen. So I'm going to go through from my Bible. Here we go. When the waters saw thee, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Yes, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of the thunder was in the whirlwind. Lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way was through the sea, thy path through the great waters. Yet thy footprints were unseen. Thou did lead your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. This ends the first reading. Praise be to God. And we have a choir. Our choir is going to do an anthem. It's called I'm Going Home.
And I don't care to stay here long. Rise up!
fit to stay here long.
Rise up, younger Christians, away up yonder. Oh, yes, my Lord, for I don't fit to stay here long.
Thank you. That was really good. I wanted to pull out my harmonica to that one. That was good. And now, do we have some children? Children's time. How you doing? Here they come, here they come. Yeah, hi, you guys. Oh, and you've got a friend with you. Oh, what's her name? What was it? Molly. Oh, Molly, she looks so pretty. Looks like she's ready for church. Yes. Well, we're missing Pastor Devin today, aren't we? Your dad. Yeah, he is such a great minister. And we know that he loves us all, each one of us. Well, today we're going to talk about impossible things. Impossible things. What do you think about impossible things? What does it say? Are they hard to do? Are they? I think so. I think they're impossible, right? You know anybody that does impossible things? Jesus. Ooh, boy, you get an A, you get a star. Yes, there's things on TV that we see, though, in the movies, superheroes. My favorite's Captain America, because he sacrificed himself, you know, for other people. He's really a great guy. But, you know, there's things that even though superheroes can't do, right? And I always think that they should make a movie about superheroes where Jesus would come in and save everyone. He's the ultimate superhero, isn't he? He does the impossible. And we're going to talk about some of the things that he does. In fact, he specializes in impossible things. He makes it possible for us to do impossible things, doesn't he? Yes. Like, sometimes we don't feel like helping other people. Sometimes we feel like keeping to ourselves and maybe not helping others. And then we think about Jesus and we say that famous saying, "What would Jesus do?" And we end up helping him. And that, does that make us feel good? Makes us feel great, right? We think that's what God wants us to do. That's why God created us, right? To love other people and to love Him most of all. All right. Well, thank you guys for coming up here today. I think Uncle Craig is going to take you back, and he's going to help you with Odyssey today. Sunday school. So he's right there. So I want to thank you guys, but first we're going to pray. Okay? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God of the impossible, we know that you smile down on us, especially us children, Lord God, that you love us and you tell us that we must be like children in order to inherit the kingdom of God. We thank you. Empower us, Lord. Give us the strength to do what you would have us do. Lord God, for you to glorify your beautiful name. We thank you for that love, and we ask this in the name above all names, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, guys. Oh. Always so good. You know, I got three grandchildren. We raised two of our kids, and we have three grandchildren now. They are a blessing, but they also are an energy drain. But you know, at the end of the day, it's all worth it. It's treasure. It's treasure in heaven. And we are so grateful for them, just the little things they do, you know, turn out to be treasures, and they tell you they love you, and they, you know, It's wonderful. So. All right. And now comes the part of our service where we have joys and concerns. And do we have anybody? Yes, Nathan, the man.
Yeah, Marty.
And Judy, the woman. All right.
I'd like our Erlene to stand up, please. You've been teaching us Bible study for a few years now. It's been wonderful. It's helped my spiritual growth and all of us. And you've announced you'll be joining us but not leading us next year. So I want us all to give her a great round of applause for all she's done.
I learned more than they did. When I first went in there, I told them, I said, I'm not a teacher. And it was fun. We really laughed a lot, didn't we? And we found out just how hard it is to be a really true Christian. I'm kind of worried about myself now. I have a prayer request. There's a woman named Rosemary Marsh. She lives over here on Bailey Street. And her great-granddaughter is best friends with my great-granddaughter. And Rosemary Marsh is going in for surgery Tuesday. And her great-granddaughter wanted us to pray for her.
Okay. Yeah, it's amazing how that in our walk, your spiritual walk, isn't it, really? You never are totally full. There's always something new to learn. And yeah. It's true.
I'm Marilyn Bracey. I would also like prayers for my daughter-in-law, Lynn Bracey. She's going in for surgery tomorrow. She has to have the lower part of her lung removed, and she's got cancer. So pray for her and my son, helping her through all of this as well. This is the second time around for her, so it's been rather difficult. Also, I need to say prayer for my daughter's mother-in-law, Gail. She's in well with Jeromeo after having a stroke. Now, you might remember me talking about her husband, T.J. Johnston. He passed away last fall, so she's been devastated without him. So it's difficult. Her will for living is very hard right now. So prayers for her, please, as well. And your prayers really work. I'm so thankful for this church and what we do. Thank you so much.
That's true.
Continued prayer for Beth Eisen.
Yes.
I would like prayers for my friend Marge Lewis, who's in the hospital and is septic right now.
I have a praise I'd just like to share with everyone. I think many of you may know, but this Tuesday night at 7:00 at Barnville Field, there will be a baccalaureate service for our Romeo High School graduates. And our church is very involved in this. Pastor Devin, since he's been here, has jumped in, several of our members, and it has just grown over the years. It's really a phenomenal event. Looks like we're going to have great weather. It's a youth-led service, so we have a youth praise band, youth speakers. Some of them are past graduates. Some of them are current students. But if you're not doing anything Tuesday night, I'd love to invite you. We have, right at this moment, we have about 150 graduates attending and 1,000 people registered to come. And then afterwards, it's about an hour-long service. We have refreshments served afterwards. But it's a very uplifting service, and these kids do an amazing job. And I invite you all to come and be a part of it if you would like to.
And that's this Tuesday.
Tuesday at 7:00, yes, at Barnville Field.
And the others. Right. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord God, Almighty, Lord Jesus, we come to you with our requests and our prayers, Lord God, and you tell us in your word to pray about everything, Lord God. We are here in this lost world, this broken place, Lord God. And so many of these people that are mentioned here today need you, Lord God, even though they may be healthy. Lord God, we still need you. We need you to walk with us through this life. Lord God, we lift up today, Erlene. We thank you for her willingness to serve you, Lord God, for her sense of humor, Lord God, that you have given her, Lord Jesus. And Lord God, we just thank you for her. Lord God, we pray for Rosemary Marsh, who's going in for surgery on Tuesday. Lord God, that you bless Rosemary, that you be with her, Lord Jesus. Guide the doctor's hand as they do their work to help her heal and to correct her issues, Lord God. We pray for Lynn Bracey, Lord Jesus, who is having a surgery on her lung, Lord Jesus, to have her lung removed. We pray that you would guide the surgeon's hands there, Lord God, that you would help her, Lord God, to recover, help her family, Lord Jesus, as they pray for her and lift her up, Lord God. And Lord God, for Gail, who has had a stroke, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord God, to help Gail to recover, Lord God, to know that you are her Lord, Lord Jesus, and that you would bless her and be with her, Lord God. For Beth Tyson, Lord Jesus, we lift up Beth again, that you would help her to recover, Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we pray for Marge Lewis, Lord God, that you would help Marge, that you would be with Marge, that you would bless Marge. And Lord, we also pray for this baccalaureate that is this Tuesday, Lord Jesus, as these young people are graduating and reaching this point in their life, Lord God, that you would bless them, Lord God, and be with them, Lord God. May this ceremony, this baccalaureate, give you glory, Lord Jesus, for you are worthy, Lord God. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And now, if you will join me in the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, you are in heaven. Hallowed is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Next hymn, it is 585 in your hymnal, and it is entitled This Little Light of Mine. Please rise.
Thank you.
You guys are really great. Nothing like music. I hear heaven is full of music, which is really something to look forward to. Even if you're tone deaf. Okay. And now for our loving the world through our giving. You see we have new boxes on the wall. I'm sure you all know about making deposits there. Really appreciate that. And that is definitely a blessing. The Lord has said, if you bless me with your tithes, I will bless you. This is one of the things that God has promised to us that we do. So let us just pray over those gifts today. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you. We thank you that you give us, Lord God, so that we can give you, so that you can further your work here in this world and in this church, Lord Jesus. We ask your blessing upon them, and we thank you for what you give us, for all good things come from your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wonderful. Now for our second scripture reading, it comes from Mark 10. And verses 17 through 27. It begins. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him. And Jesus asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. Do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have observed." Maybe he didn't keep them, but he observed them. "From my youth." And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go and sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me." At that saying, his countenance fell, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at these words. But Jesus said to them, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but with God, for all things are possible with God." This ends our reading today. We say thanks be to God. Interesting. Very interesting. The eye of a needle. You think Jesus kind of laughed when he said that? The eye of a needle. I mean, I think that refers to an entrance that was maybe into the kingdom, into Jerusalem. They called the Eye of a Needle, where in order to get through it, you had to take everything off your camel, and then your camel could fit through it. And then kind of symbolic of what he meant to this rich man, that in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you can't take anything with you. You have come into the world naked. You have to enter the kingdom of heaven with nothing but your skin on and your spirit. But today, I should tell you a joke first. I like to start off with a joke. It's a good way to begin. There was a family that lived way out in a rural community, way out, and they had never been to town all their lives. So the wife asked the husband, and they had a son, there was three of them. And she said, let's go to the city. I want to see the city. I've never seen the city. I want to go. So one day when all the chores were done, they left and they took their pickup truck into the city. And it was amazing to them. There were so many cars. There were so many people. They looked up at these huge skyscrapers. And they said, let's go in. The husband said, let's go in and take a look. And so him and the son, they went in, and they walked in. They saw these huge silver doors, and the doors opened up, and they saw this elderly woman get on, and then the doors closed. And then 2 minutes later, the doors opened, and this beautiful woman walked out. And the father turned to the son and said, quick, go get your mother. But today we're going to be talking about our God, the impossible. And I've got some scripture I was reading in 2 Chronicles, and it has to do with the three kings that were kings, three generations, during the time of Isaiah. It's about 800 years before Christ. And at this time, there was a split in Israel. There was Judah and there was Israel. And that occurred, I believe, at the time of Rehoboam, if I'm not mistaken. And there was Judah that lived in Jerusalem. And then there was Israel, too, that lived outside of Jerusalem. I think they lived probably close to Assyria in Samaria. And the first king we're going to talk about today is Ahaz. Now, Ahaz was 20 years old and he became king. And if you look through Scripture, a lot of the Old Testament talks about the old kings, the Israeli kings, and the kings of Judah. Well, it appears to be in Scripture that most of the kings from Israel were evil kings and did bad things. About 50-50 for Judah. So this first king, Ahaz, we're going to talk about today, he was 20 years old and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But Ahaz did not do right in the eyes of the Lord. He followed the kings of Israel. And they were all wicked. But what did he do that caused him to be so wicked? Well, Ahaz didn't believe in God. He made molten images for the Baals. And he worshipped pagan gods and burned his sons as offerings to these gods, according to the abominable practices of the nations the Lord had drove out before the people of Israel. So Ahaz went back and worshiped pagan gods and didn't turn his heart to the Lord. And so the Lord brought Syria against him and took a great number of people captive. Now this is how God's love works. People talk about love, human love, but there's a difference. Like I said, I have grandchildren. It's so easy to spoil your grandchildren with love, to give them their way, even though you know they need a spanking. But the Lord's love is a different thing. We need correction. Being his children, we need correction. So this is what he did to Ahaz. He brought Syria against Ahaz. to war against him, to make hard times for him, so that he would maybe be broken and turn to God. And some of the things that he did, this guy has got a head like a piece of wood. He was really something. He, not even after Syria came against him and took a great number of the Judeans captive and ravaged Jerusalem, he still didn't repent and turn to God. Then he brought Israel, his own brothers and sisters, against Ahaz. And they slaughtered over 120,000 of them. And they took prisoners and captives from Ahaz. He still didn't turn. He still didn't turn his head towards God. But some of the Israelites, after they brought the captives to Israel, they said, we can't do this. We can't turn these people into slaves, because that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to turn all these Judean people into slaves. And they're brothers and sisters of them. And there were some noble Israelites that said, wait a minute, what are you doing here? God's mad enough at us. His wrath is already coming on us. And now you want to turn these people into slaves too? You're going to give us 10 times the punishment that's already due us. And so they turned from what they were going to do, and they clothed their brothers and sisters who were captured naked there, and they anointed them with the oil, and they sent them back. And then shortly after that, the Edomites came and attacked Jerusalem. And they took away many captives. They took away a lot of women and children, and it was terrible. But Ahaz still didn't turn his head back to the Lord. And the Philistines came. So the Lord brought the Philistines into the picture. And they made raids upon Jerusalem and all the surrounding towns and villages. And they even settled in that territory. So Ahaz said to the king of Assyria, he sent to the king of Assyria for help. And it turns out that the king of Assyria even turned against him. So he asked him for help, and he turned against him too. Talk about an impossible situation. So Ahaz took from the house of the Lord even and gave it to the king of Assyria to appease him. He took all the stuff out of the temple and gave it to those people, to the king of Assyria, in hopes that he would turn and that he would listen and give Ahaz a break. Yet, in his time of distress, it said in the Bible, he became more faithless. This guy is really something else. Talk about a head of stone here. I guess the term is stiff-necked. And then Ahaz even sacrificed to the gods of Damascus. He didn't turn around and sacrifice to God in his helplessness. He turned to the gods of Damascus. Even the people that defeated him, their gods he turned to. He reasoned that they had helped the kings of Syria, so why not help him? But they were the ruin of him. Then Ahaz cut into pieces even the vessels from the house of God, and he shut the doors of the house of the Lord. He shut the doors. No one could worship. In those days, I think they did whatever the king did. That's what people would do. They would follow their king. And he continued to worship the false gods in every city of Judah and every town. It looked like it would be impossible for Judah to ever recover. What a situation. What about all those people that still had faith in God and wanted to follow God? It was impossible. But God of the impossible made it possible. The next king was Hezekiah. Now Hezekiah, thank God, he must have been standing in line waiting to see if he was going to get burned by Ahaz. praying that he wouldn't. Thank God he didn't, because he was 25 when he came into being a king in Judah. And he reigned for 29 years. There was a big difference. The Lord brought a good king to Judah. And he did right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that David, his predecessor, had done. First thing Hezekiah did, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. They must have been hanging off by the hinges. I mean, Ahaz must have just trashed that. The house of God. He neglected it, yeah. It was terrible. But Hezekiah somehow saw that he was in error and he was wrong. So Hezekiah rebuilt the temple. Hezekiah said to them, to the people, carry out all the filth from the holy place, taking it to the brook at Kidron. And that's what he did. And they threw all that garbage into the brook at Kidron. Then, led by Hezekiah, they made sacrifices for the sins of Judah and that Judah was guilty of, and also for Israel. So they included Israel. Hezekiah even included Israel, that was so against Judah, in his worship and prayer and sacrifice. And he even invited them to come back to Jerusalem to worship with him and to be restored. What an amazing king he was for them. And he also began to celebrate the Passover again, which wasn't celebrated. And he invited everyone there to celebrate the Passover with him for the first time in so long. Hezekiah also prayed for the people. That's one thing Ahaz never did. He prayed the Lord would pardon everyone who set his heart to seek God. And that was his prayer. We're preparing to worship that Passover, because there were so many people that were not cleansed and ready that they wanted to observe the Passover. I think it was on the second week instead of the first week. And so he prayed, and the Lord forgave all those people. The Lord of the impossible. He made it possible for them to worship him and allowed it. And the Lord heard Hezekiah when he prayed. And here we go to 2 Chronicles 32. And we are right here. Let me read a little bit of what happened here. After these things and these acts of faithfulness, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah and encamped against the fortified cities. Now, there was still, the Lord's wrath was still in place because of Ahaz. But what Hezekiah was trying to do was appease the Lord, so there would not be that wrath to come. And so Hezekiah prayed to his people. Sennacherib had come against the people and was terrifying them. They were all afraid, but Hezekiah gathered all the people together in one place at the gate of the city. And he prayed this prayer, and it says, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed before the king of Assyria and all the horde that is with him. For there is one greater with us than is with him. With him is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord God. Amen. And help us to fight our battles, and he will help us to fight our battles. And the people took confidence from the words of Hezekiah and of Judah. So they all fortified themselves. Now Sennacherib was right outside. Sennacherib, maybe is more accurate, his name pronunciation. He was right outside, and he heard what was going on. And he saw what was going on, what Hezekiah was doing to the people. And so he made a proclamation to the people, to those Judeans that were in there, in the city. And he said, don't listen to what Hezekiah says. He's lying to you. He's not going to help you. How can he help you? He doesn't even worship the gods in the hills anymore. He says to come and worship at one place in Jerusalem. And of all the people that we have defeated, none of their gods can save us. What do you think your God's going to save you? See, Sennacherib, he did not know anything about God. He had never heard God. He had never had the idea of who God was. And so there was going to be a great battle the next day, and all the Assyrians were going to attack and kill all of the Judeans in Jerusalem. And so Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, and he says, don't worry. And this is also covered in Isaiah, what exactly happened. And he said, I will fight for you. I will fight for you. Don't worry. And the next day, when the gates opened and the battle was to begin, Hezekiah and all the people saw 180,000 dead Assyrians. The Lord had killed them all. And he sent Sennacherib back to his country, back to Assyria. And he said that he would do this, that he was going to turn Sennacherib's head and send it back, and send him back to Assyria. So he went back, and he was so flabbergasted, you can imagine. All of his whole army died overnight. He walks out, and he's like, oh, my word, what's going on? And so he fled back to Assyria, and he went into his temple to worship his false gods. And it turns out that his own sons killed him there. This also shows you another example of God doing impossible things. And he also restored the kingdom to Hezekiah and made it rich and gave him peace. And it's amazing that once he turned his heart back to the Lord and followed him, just what the Lord can do. And this still applies to us today. We are the same. We find ourselves in terrible situations. And then Hezekiah, it was time for him to die. And so the Lord sent Isaiah to tell him, well, it's time for you to die, Hezekiah. Gather your things together. And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, it says, and he wept bitterly. He wept and he said, Lord, what, I've followed you all my life. You're going to take my life now and end it? And of course, he was sick because he had a huge boil and he was dying from that. And so as you can picture, after Isaiah had told him this, he left the castle, and after he was walking out, he got a message from the Lord saying, wait a minute, Isaiah, wait a minute. I'm going to give Hezekiah 15 more years. And so he went back and he told him that. And he told them to get a box of fig bars and put it on the boil. No, actually he told them to make a paste of figs. And he put it on the boil. And he was healed. Another impossibility. And he gave him 15 more years. Well, he went on for 15 more years, and he had a son. 2 years into this 15 years, he had a son, and his name was Manasseh. Now, you'd think that Manasseh would follow Hezekiah and be a good king, but he wasn't. He was evil, just like his grandfather Ahaz. And he went into the worship of all the gods in the hills that the Lord forbid. He said, God said, worship me alone in one place, in the temple. But he didn't listen to that. And he established places under every green tree, and he burnt incense to all the false gods, just as Ahaz did. Well, what does God do in that situation? He loves us. So what does he do to his bad child? He spanks him. So he brought Assyria again into Jerusalem, and they captured Manasseh. Manasseh did terrible things, just like his father. Like I said, he burned his own sons too. Burned his sons to appease these false gods. You know, it is just like in the world. These kings that lived back then lived in the world. And who rules this fallen world? Does anyone know who rules this world? God rules it, but Satan is in charge for a little while, isn't he? God gave him a short leash. So when we fall away from God, we're vulnerable to Satan and what Satan wants to do. And that's just what happened to Manasseh when he turned his back on God too. And so he was taken prisoner. And it says in Scripture they put hooks in him and they bound him with tethers. But it was at this point where he must have heard Hezekiah because he repented. He humbled himself. And he said that I love you, Lord. I turn my heart to you, Lord. And the Lord forgave him. Manasseh, this evil king, was able to be forgiven and taken back into, they returned him. All the Scripture says that they returned him to Jerusalem. So Manasseh turned into a follower of God, and the Lord blessed him. That's the possibility that we have with our Lord. There's nothing impossible for our God, like our Scripture said. With men, it is impossible. Would people have forgiven Manasseh? Would they have returned him? No, it was God. God who intervened and did the impossible. And, you know, it's something. I've known people, and I'm sure you have known people too, who, when you talk to them about God, they say, I'll never be saved. He'll never, gosh, if I went to church, the roof would fall in because I'm so bad and I can't change it. I'll never change. And you know that it's amazing what can the Lord can do, the God of the impossible. And it says, you know, that all of us are sinners, right? Paul said it. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Without God doing the impossible, sending Jesus to die for our sins, God himself coming to earth to lay down for us on the cross to change us, the Lord said, you must be born again. You must be born again. You must change. And so that's one of the impossible things that he did. Another one of the impossible things, they're all through Scripture. Another one of the impossible things that he did, gosh, you can certainly name them in the Psalms. Well, he parted the sea with the apostles. What did Jesus do with all the apostles? I mean, my goodness, he healed the leper. He caused the blind to see. He healed people. He did all of these amazing, impossible things. Even in the Old Testament, of course, like Jonah, the fish. God prepared a giant fish to come and swallow Jonah, and he came in and burped him up on this land, and then he went to Assyria, where Sennacherib was from, and he preached there. I mean, this is the work of the Lord. And what else did Jesus do? He walked on water. He walked on water. I saw that in The Chosen. It's the last season. I shouldn't give this away, but if someone hasn't seen it, it's amazing that Jesus, after feeding the 4,000, came to the apostles who were out at sea in this storm, and they looked up. I think it was Peter or maybe it was John. John saw him, and he says, look, they all said, look, there's a phantom coming. Jesus, out in the storm, walking on the water. Walking on the water? Oh, my word. And he got close to them. And in which gospel it is, I think it's Matthew, that he called Peter out and said, come to me. He said, Lord, if that's you, Peter said, if that's you, Lord, let me walk on water too. And he did. And Peter came out and walked on water with the Lord. First, Peter started to look at what? He looked away from the Lord. And he started to look at the world and the waves. And that created fear in him. He began to sink. And then he said, Lord, save me, like we do. Lord, save me. And the Lord reached out and grabbed him and brought him back to the surface. And I always wondered, you know, they've shown that in various depiction of Christ. And I've always wondered, did he walk? Did he break the surface? They always show him, you know, where he's... But wouldn't that have been something? I wonder, you know, we got to ask him that when we get there. Lord, did you break the surface? And then, of course, he got into the boat after they pulled Jesus into the boat. There, the boat was where it should have been on the shore, and it was home. But just one of the impossible things that the Lord has done. And we need the impossible to be done. The second scripture is from 1 Corinthians, and it's from 6:9. And it says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor robbers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified by Jesus in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the Spirit of our God. So that shows, that covers about the whole gamut of what we do that is wrong. And we as the bride of Christ, the Lord says, I send you out into the world to affect the world, to change the world, this realm that Satan has a hold of, this fallen world. I send you out into it, not to let the world change you, but that you are to change the world. Not by accepting the sinful and the broken and all the things that are going on in the conference today concerning the division of the church. We are here to change the world, not to let the world with its ways work into our church, work into God's house, into his bride, to crumble her foundation, which is Satan's game. It is to crumble the church and to break the church. And once we let one thing, accept one of these sins into the church, others will be accepted. And Satan will have his way with the church. And it will be broken. I say, that's what I have to say to you today. We are here to change the world in a loving way, with love. Not with forceful accusations, not with judgmentalism, but with love. There are many people that have come out of homosexuality. I have to say this. And they are not brought forward, but they are saved from it. One of them, her name is Rosaria Butterfield. She has a testimony on YouTube. She was a professor. She was an atheist. She was a lesbian. She has a remarkable testimony. Rosaria, which means rosary, Butterfield is her name. And there are many others. One, another homosexual man who came out of that, is Beck is his name. And he has quite a testimony. Rosaria says that she came out of it. She was even going to church. The church that she went to would skip over parts of the gospel that weren't true. And the things that were true. And the thing that changed her, she says, is that she had a minister. She knew a minister. And he accepted her. And he would go to her house. And they would have dinner together. And he never accused her. He just loved her. And he would talk to her about scripture and what it says and what the right thing is to do. But he showed her love and kindness. And he'd give her the Bible, and she would discard it. And she said it was terrible, and she would hide it. amongst all of her papers, and then she would go and get it again and read it again. And finally, she says, she read in Genesis about the rebellion of Adam and Eve and how we are the children of Adam and Eve and how Satan, what he did to get Adam and Eve to fall away from God, how subtle he is in the things that he uses. And we cannot help but we are the children of Adam and Eve. And the Lord God, Satan thinks he has us, right? He thinks he has us. He thinks that, oh yeah, they're doomed, Lord. Look, your children, they've fallen away from you. There's no way that you save them. But the Lord says, oh really? I'm going to save my children. I'm going to send Jesus Christ down. And I'm going to sacrifice, in so many words, myself for their sins. And that's what he did. And that's what Rosaria realized, that that was rebellion against God. And she wanted to follow God. She wanted to love God with her whole heart. And now she is a minister's wife. It is an amazing testimony, what she says. She's a very educated and articulate woman. And it's really an eye-opener. But it was that was her changing point, was when she read about Adam and Eve and how they rebelled against God. So let's go forth with that knowledge that God, nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is impossible. And he has said it himself. With God, all things are possible. I say amen and amen. I think we have a video we're going to show.
Yeah, let's all stand for our last song.
All right, Nathan, yes.
It's easy to catch on to. There's no words, but it's easy to follow along.
I'm gonna sit at the welcome table. I'm gonna sit at the welcome table one of these days. I'm gonna sit at the welcome table. Sit at the welcome table one of these days. I'm gonna feast on milk and honey. I'm gonna feast on milk and honey one of these days. I'm gonna feast on milk and honey. I'm gonna feast on milk and honey one of these days.
Here we go.
I'm gonna feel good as you treat me. I'm gonna tell God how you treat me one of these days. I'm gonna tell God how you treat me. Tell God how you treat me one of these days. One of these days.
That's Marty playing.
That's me.
Welcome table one of these days. All God's children sit together. All God's children sit together one of these days. All God's children sit together. Gonna go sit together one of these days. One of these days. I'm gonna sit at the welcome table. I'm gonna we'll sit at the welcome table one of these days. I'm gonna sit at the welcome table. Gonna sit at the welcome table one of these days. Sit at the welcome table one of these days.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Nathan. Paul is surprised that Nathan with that one, but he always does well. As far as the benediction. Lord God, guard your church, bless your church, keep us strong in you and in your word, Lord God, as we go out into this world, this fallen world, to change it, Lord God. To bring those in, Lord God, from the fields of sin that they are in, that we are in, Lord God. We ask you to have mercy upon us, Lord God, and bless us and strengthen us with your Spirit. And we pray this in the name above all names, Lord Jesus Christ. And all the people said, Amen.
Let's give Marty a round of applause for a great job.
I love you too, man.
No, I loved it. I loved it.
Thank you.
You spoke on some things that most people don't want to talk about.
Yeah.